Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
Hi to everyone who's joining. We'd like to welcome you to another episode of TMT Talk, our global TMT podcast designed to help clients navigate and prioritize risks via insights from our top legal advisors in strategic technology markets. TMT companies, of course, play a central role in the growth of the interactive entertainment industry and in the development of future metaverse environments. To further explore the IE sector and the metaverse concept, we launched Report 3 of our flagship publication, TMT Looking Ahead. And in this episode, we'll be discussing one of the key areas that Report 3 focuses on, specifically how the cloud is driving interactive entertainment. My name is Teresa Michaud, and I'm a partner in our California offices and on our global steering committee for the Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Industry Group. With me today are Carlos Vela and Dom Edmondson. Carlos is the head of the firm's Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Industry Group in Mexico, and he focuses his practice on corporate, commercial, and transactional work, including M&A, corporate restructuring, corporate governance, and private equity transactions. Dom has a broad information technology and intellectual property practice, focusing on IT advisory work, IT sourcing and transactions, cybersecurity, e-commerce, content regulation, telecommunications, privacy, and data protection. He also practices contentious and non-contentious IP matters with a focus on the Greater China region. So welcome, Carlos and Dom, to our podcast. We're very happy to have you here. And I will kick this off with a question first for Dom. So Dom, if you could tell us, what is the driving increase in demand for cloud services, and how is this impacting the interactive entertainment industry?
Thanks, Teresa. So I think the key point here is around the growing popularity of streaming services, and whether that's video on demand or gaming or audio streaming, which accelerated exponentially during the COVID-19 pandemic when, of course, we were all staying home. Now, interactive entertainment platforms and gaming companies in particular, as a result of market competition and growing consumer expectations, but also given the awareness of the vulnerabilities and the expense of maintaining expensive on-premise servers to host their data, have been quick to learn the benefits of the scalability, agility, and operational efficiency that using cloud computing services brings. Now, these are all key to making available, vast libraries of on-demand content and live streaming of increasingly data-rich entertainment to an ever-growing audience. So the cloud is a critical component of this aspect of digital transformation. And as you know from recent acquisitions in the sector, in M&A, it's never been more important for interactive entertainment companies to bring together strong content titles with a lot of cloud infrastructure and a streaming offering over the top. And I would say that this trend doesn't show any signs of slowing as consumers push for more multi-platform game availability, one-to-many gaming updates, just to take the gaming sector as an example, as well as patches and the promise of a gaming experience, which doesn't care about what physical hardware the user is using. So the increase in use of cloud services is making this possible at scale. And if we take gaming as an example, well, cloud gaming or gaming on demand is an online gaming format that offers frictionless and direct playability, generally in two types. There's file streaming and video streaming. And we've seen some of the big, US tech companies foray into cloud gaming and video streaming platforms as well. And chip makers have also entered the online gaming space. So cloud services, together with 5G and the advent of new devices introduced to bring about an immersive experience, are all positioned to transform gaming in the same way streaming services have revolutionized the video market. Interestingly, in terms of Asia Pacific, I note that over 55% of the world's 3 billion gamers are from this region. And so I think that the Asia Pacific region in which I'm based is set to be an attractive destination for business expansion investment across the globe. And this means that, I think that the advent of a plurality of interactive metaverse environments, which will of course include social interaction, but also gaming, will only accelerate this trend. And so, the ability of interactive entertainment companies to analyze huge quantities of data will enable them to ramp up their AI efforts. And this will have a positive impact on communications, customer engagement, and the like. So I think that this is only going in one direction, and that is the direction of expansion.
Great, thank you. It certainly feels like from our perspective on the West Coast that this trend is not going to slow down anytime soon and certainly seems to be increasing in urgency. Carlos, from your perspective in Latin America, what type of digital transformation priorities are consumers pushing IE companies to make?
Thank you, Teresa. I believe that Latin American market is getting quite hot for interactive entertainment companies. It has been already a very hot market for video games. If we put together all the consumers of video games in Latin America, they are surpass the number of gamers in North America. So it's a very important market with a lot of consumption, particularly in connection with mobile games and with streaming services. But I believe that probably it's one of the most underserved markets in terms of consumption priorities and how these consumption preferences are taken on account by media companies. But now these digital transformation processes, which are based on collecting data in connection with different media services, and then taking this data, analyzing this data, and deciding which type of products or services you should focus or serve to a particular region, are starting to provide more information on how the Latin market is a very specific and very high demanding market. So it is clear that there are a specific type of streaming services and a specific type of contents that the Latin American market likes the most. But it's also very important to see that most of the consumption is through mobile. So users are willing to find this multi-platform and game availability type of experience where they can switch from consuming media products in their TVs or traditional formats, and then consuming them on mobile. Consumers are pointing in that direction, and I think it's not only Latin America, but in many other markets, about having this type of agnostic gaming experience where physical hardware is not really relevant, but the availability of content regardless of the type of hardware. So I think media companies are starting to understand the particular differences of Latin American market and to gain more consciousness about the quality of the data that they can collect from this market.
Great, thank you. It certainly sounds like there's quite a bit of demand from consumers from all directions and high expectations for what interactive entertainment companies are gonna have to deliver. Could you both talk for a minute about what are some of the headwinds faced by interactive entertainment companies that might affect their cloud adoption strategies? And, kind of on that note, what are they going to need to do to adapt?
Thanks, Teresa. I'll jump in and take this one. So I think that the increased availability of data and improved means for its processing present obviously not new opportunities, as we've talked about. And those include operational improvements and monetization, deepening data analytics and so forth to improve customer experiences. But as they say, with great power comes great responsibility. These also bring new risks. And not least of those is data privacy regulatory risks. So key concerns around data privacy and cybersecurity seem to keep a lot of digital transformation leaders awake at night. And they think about things such as how data is secured and stored and the risks of exposure to data breaches, and as well as the increasing volume of cross-border data regulation. So this is a really difficult area to navigate because obviously data privacy laws vary by jurisdiction. Most of our listeners will, of course, be familiar to some extent with the General Data Protection Regulation of the EU. And what we're seeing across the Asia Pacific is some newer pieces of legislation that are coming in some jurisdictions that previously didn't have an omnibus privacy law or any, you know, particular privacy regulations that mimic to some extent or follow the regulatory structure of the GDPR and regulate not only those sort of data controllers, data users, but also data processors, which would include cloud service providers. So navigating these differences is quite difficult. So complying, I think, with complex and prohibitive local legislation can slow digital transformation progress and also international growth plans. There's only a certain amount of regulatory risk that an interactive entertainment company can shift to a cloud provider via contract. In our latest digital transformation and cloud survey conducted by Baker McKenzie, which our listeners can find online, over 60% of respondees said that they were contracting primarily on the cloud provider's standard contract terms, with a further 27% mainly on provider standard terms and some customer terms. So this shows that there's perhaps limited ability to negotiate with cloud service providers on their standard contractual terms, which would seek generally to shift liability for data privacy compliance and other regulatory compliance to the customer. So reducing cyber risk through proper data management in the cloud by interactive entertainment companies will remain an important pillar of any cybersecurity program, really, because, you know, organizations are ultimately responsible for the compliance of the data they store, their applications, and of course, the infrastructure that such apps are built on and the services provided by third parties. So on the point that some jurisdictions directly regulate data processors and others don't, particularly in the Asia Pacific region, you know, we're seeing this trend of certain GDPR-like provisions popping up in new legislation. And the Thailand Personal Data Protection Act is an example of that, which came into force on the 1st of June and now has interactive entertainment companies and other companies, of course, who use cloud services scrambling to work out what exactly they need to do to review their contracts to ensure compliance and whether they need to revisit any of those cloud service agreements, for example, to try and shift the risk or apportion the risk in a more appropriate way.
Yeah, so it sounds like we should continue to see more and more regulation on the privacy side for cloud and interactive entertainment companies generally. I think another one of those areas where we're seeing a lot of new regulation is on content moderation. Carlos, are you seeing a lot of this from your perspective? And if so, what do you think some of the hot button topics are for interactive entertainment companies to focus on for content moderation now?
Thank you, Teresa. Certainly, I think in the past, for interactive entertainment companies operating in Latin America used to be a very safe place in terms of content moderation. They were perceived as always the good guys, and also the authorities and the courts were a little bit reluctant to analyze whether the contents that were produced need to be localized for specific audiences, and whether certain audiences may have a certain set of rights. Audiences' rights are already a reality in many countries when we talk about television and radio, but certainly we don't have this type of bill of rights for interactive entertainment company. But increasingly we see that and we are receiving a lot of concerns from our clients, and we are seeing a lot of courts and regulators in many countries trying to assert their jurisdiction in connection with a multinational interactive entertainments company. They are questioning a lot of different aspects in connection, for instance, with, and we are noticing that, for instance, terms like freedom of speech, which we thought were already quite well defined and asserted across the region, now has been, they're starting to be questioned. Child protection is starting to be invoked as a way for scrutinizing media companies. There's a lot of discussion about whether certain content implies gambling activities. There's a lot of discussion about political rights and on whether content is infringing the political rights, etc. What we are seeing is that legislatures and courts are increasingly expanding their views on their ability to regulate, and they are starting to take more actions with regard to companies.
Great. Thank you for that, Carlos. It certainly sounds like we've got plenty of content to develop additional podcast episodes for this audience, both from the Asia Pacific and Latin American side. So I warn both of you in advance that we'll be reaching out again for another episode. But I do want to thank you so much for joining us today. This has been extremely helpful. I know our audience really appreciates it. And certainly for those that are interested, please do reach out to us to get a copy of Report 3 on TMT Looking Ahead that focuses on how the cloud is driving interactive entertainment. With that, I want to thank you all for joining, and we'll close. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Carlos.